You get the power turned on up here. How about that? That'll preach. Chad, did I give you guys Exodus chapter 3? Verses 1 through 6. Thank you. Thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. Anybody guess what verses? 1 through 6. Y'all are good. Y'all are good. This is our concluding our sixth week in the study Experiencing God. 13-week study, so you're right on the verge of being halfway through the study. I hope you're not halfway through Experiencing God. I hope that is a daily occurrence in each one of your lives. Did you know that he wants you to experience him daily? Did y'all know that? Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking. Make sure somebody hadn't told y'all something wrong. Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6, and I'd invite you to stand. I know you've been standing a lot, but certainly in honor of the Word of God, we could stand one more time. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Thank you. You may be seated. God bless the reading of His Word. This passage is a familiar passage. It's the burning bush experience. It's Moses' encounter with God. It's kind of introduces him. You know, when you introduce yourself to somebody, what do you say? Hi, my name is. Well, this is God's introduction to Moses. He says, I am the God of your forefathers. Take off your shoes where you stand in the holy ground. And then later, Moses says, well, what about a name? He says, if you tell me to go, when I tell him, who do I say sent me? And he gives him his name. I am. I am. I love that. It's in an introduction, okay? We're told throughout Scripture that in times in past that God has spoken in various ways. Indeed, in the Old Testament, we find that God has spoken through angels. He has spoken through visions, through dreams, through symbolic actions, as in Jeremiah, through a gentle whisper, and through miraculous signs, okay, such as a bush that was burning but did not get consumed. It was burning. The fire was not. I had a big fire at the house this week from the tree that fell over from the storm a few weeks back. And then yesterday I had 10 more trees. And after the logs were taken off, all the tops, and that stuff was green. I mean, it was alive that morning and cut down that day and burning that night. I lit it up, and it burned for, what, 2-3 days? But guess what? It got consumed. There's now a pile of ash and a few stumps. But there's a pile of ash where there used to be limbs and leaves and root balls and that kind of stuff. That didn't happen to this bush. The bush was on fire and it wasn't getting consumed. That was the miraculous thing. It wasn't that the bush was suddenly on fire. It was that it was burning but wasn't being consumed. That's a miracle. I want to tell you that how God spoke is not nearly as important as the fact that He spoke. Okay? This one instance where we look at Moses in Exodus 3. I want us to look at four things real quickly about the way that God speaks. The first thing is that when God speaks, it's usually unique to that individual. Okay? It's unique to that individual. It's unique to you. He speaks your language. He comes to you in ways that you would recognize that it's God. It's cool and great and awesome, and we need to read through and see how he spoke to other people and hear how he has spoken to other people. But that experience is unique to each and every one of us. Okay? Moses had no precedent for a burning bush experience. He couldn't say, oh yeah, the bush thing. Okay, I remember hearing from my forefathers that when they had the bush thing, that was God. And so I see the bush thing, boom, that must be God, that's my experience. That wasn't the case. Wasn't the case. The burning bush was his experience. His experience was unique because God wants our experience with him and his voice to be personal to us. See, when God speaks to me, he calls me Big Mike. I'm not that big anymore. I used to be big. Now I'm just kind of medium Mike. But to God, I'm still Big Mike, and he called me Big Mike. And I say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We must not get hung up on imitating the experiences of people mentioned in the Bible, but instead learn that God did speak then, and guess what? He still speaks today. He does. Just because you're not hearing it doesn't mean he's not speaking, okay? That's a whole other issue. That's not God's issue. He's speaking. The question is, are we hearing it? And we're going to talk about why you may not be hearing it here in just a moment, okay? The first thing is that when God speaks, it's unique to that individual. The second thing is when God speaks, you can be sure that it's God speaking, okay? There is a way that you can know that it's God. A lot of people's fall to their default is, God, if this is not you, close that door for me. Well, guess what? God can do that, but he would rather you know that it's his voice or not his voice. There is a way. Scripture tells us that when God spoke to Moses through the bush, he had no question about the fact that God was the one speaking. Here I am. It's also possible for us to recognize the voice of God. John 10, verse 4 says this, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. I need you to hear this statement. If you have trouble hearing God's voice, let me just put me in here, okay? You can put you in there too. If I hear trouble hearing God's voice, then either I do not belong to God or I'm not right with God. One of those two things. If I'm not hearing God's voice, either I don't belong to him or I'm not right with him. In Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, I'm going to read this passage here in just a moment. But Jesus, he speaks about the key to spiritual perception, how we spiritually see things. And having just spoken about the spiritual blindness of this generation in the verses previous to what I'm going to read, Jesus speaks to the question of those of whose fault is it when there's a lack of spiritual perception? When we can't see the spiritual things, whose fault is it? Is it that God's not giving it, or is it our fault? And Jesus is going to answer this question. He teaches that the key to spiritual perception is having a pure heart. Okay, it says here in verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it'll be hidden, under a bowl. You know the old song? Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm one of the... Four of y'all know the song? Okay. You don't put it... You know, when hurricanes come, when we lose power frequently at the house. So I have oil lamps, a bunch of oil lamps, and they're full of oil. They're ready to go. And when I light that oil lamp up, I don't put a towel over it and hide it. I want it to shine as bright as I can. I get it up as high as I can with being safe with the ceiling and all. I get it to where it can shed as much light. That's what you do. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it'll be hidden, under a bowl. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. I love this. He says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is also full of light. But when they're bad, your body's full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be completely lighted, as when a light of a lamp shines on you. In Matthew, there's a verse in 5 and 8 that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Okay? And Jesus tells us that in verse 33 of that passage I just read, a lack of spiritual perception is not God's fault. The lamp is not hidden. It's there for us to see. One of the purposes of the light is to help one find its way in the darkness. When the lights are out and I have oil lamps lit, I put one in the bathroom because sometimes people still need to go to the bathroom in the dark, and I want them to be able to see in the bathroom. Putting a light in a dark room, one will place it in a place of prominence. I don't set it in the bathtub and close the curtain. I set it right there on the countertop by the sink, so you can see to do what people do in the bathroom. The point is here is that when it comes to God revealing Himself to us, He does not hide Himself, but He works to reveal Himself to us. Okay. The second thing about perception is that a lack of spiritual perception is not God's fault, but if there's a lack of it, it's our fault. In verse 34 to 36, it tells us there that our eyes work to help us maneuver about. Okay? Anybody? You see, I'm wearing these cheater glasses because sometimes my eyes don't work as well as I would like for them to, and I see glasses out here. And so you kind of know the struggle sometimes that when your eyes aren't right, it just kind of makes everything out of kilter, right? By deciphering various images of light that really bombard our eyes, they're amazing, these eyes. Our eyes help us to get around in this world. But if they go bad, then everything goes dark and we stumble around. He goes on to speak of the heart, the light within you. Okay, and the heart is you know, the eyes here, they're for seeing physically, and Scripture uses the heart as a symbolic eyeball of our spiritual senses. Okay, does that make sense? You see with your heart, that's the spiritual side of things, and so it speaks of the heart. It's the organ by which we discern spiritual light. However, if our hearts have become darkened, then we're left without spiritual perception and condemned to wander around in darkness. And that's not what God's plan for us is. Hardness and darkness happens. It gets developed after a time of choosing not to walk in the light that we've received. Now, what does that look like? You know what that looks like. It's you go and you have a trouble making a decision. Man, should I really be doing this, or is this the thing? And you really struggle over this thing, and you choose this one. And come on, y'all are with me. You know that when you choose this thing, that's not the right thing, but you choose it anyway. Okay? You're refusing to walk in the light. You're choosing to walk in the darkness. Well, guess what? You're going to stumble around, and you're going to stump your toe, and it's going to hurt. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow rejection of God's light, you'll reap spiritual blindness. If you sow reception of God's light, you'll reap spiritual perception. If I'm driving my truck at night down to up to the church or to the home or whatever, my headlights are on, they don't shine all the way home. If I got out on the highway here and turned my headlights on, they don't shine all the way to the house from right here. They only shine a certain distance, right? They allow me to go safely for a little ways. But they keep shining so that when I've reached where the end of I can see, when I've reached that, my light is shining even farther. And that's how God does. He doesn't always reveal the roadmap all the way to the house. He gives us enough to where we can see to make the next step. That's the way God reveals himself to us. It's the same way with God. We walk in the light that he has given us today, knowing that as we do that, there'll be more light provided tomorrow, as long as we're faithful to stay in the light. We talked about that when God speaks, it's unique to that individual. It's unique to me. It's unique to you. And when God speaks, we can be sure that it's God speaking, but in order to do that, we've got to belong to him and be right with him, okay? The third thing is that when God speaks, we really can know what God is saying, okay? A lot of people, they don't read the book of Revelations because they've heard tell that, well, that's just full of mystery. It's just so, there's just so much stuff in there, you just can't understand it. Let me tell you something. God would not have had it written if he didn't mean for us to understand it. God doesn't speak to you and play a game with you thinking, I wonder if they can figure this out. Some kind of sinister God that you're thinking of, and that's not God. When God speaks, he speaks because he wants you to understand it. He wants you to get it. He wants you to know him and know his ways. You can know what God is saying. Moses knew what God wanted. He knew how he wanted it done, and he knew when God wanted it done. The same is true with us. We can know what God wants done, how he wants it, and when he wants it done. There's a passage in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and also trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. There's some important things in that little verse, those two little verses. As we delight in the Lord, he not only tell us what to do, okay? He'll tell you how he wants it done. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in him. He'll tell you when he wants to get it started. He'll bring it to pass. In the book of Acts, this one's kind of a lengthy passage, but it's important, and I'm not going to be going too much longer, but it's important. The book of Acts, chapter 11, the first 18 verses says this, the apostles and the believers throughout Judea and the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went to the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. How dare you associate with those lowlifes? Basically, starting from the beginning, Peter told him the story. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being led out of heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. That's my brother-in-law's favorite verse. Arise, kill and eat. Not a bad verse. That's a good verse. I don't think that he meant hunting, but, you know, it's... I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. You see, there were animals in this vision, in this sheet that he saw, that were considered unclean animals. There were pigs. There were snakes. There were catfish. Yeah. Those things that are considered unkosher. Okay. He said, surely not. I've never touched anything unclean. The voice spoke from heaven, verse 9, a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And this happened three times. Then it was pulled up to heaven again. And then right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send a Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. And he'll bring you a message through which you and your whole household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had on us at the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could not stand in God's way? Or that I could stand in God's way. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Wow. A lot of stuff in here. There's six secrets. And I know this is a lot of stuff, but I'm going to go through the rest of this pretty quickly. Six secrets to understanding God's guidance. Okay? The first one is to spend time in communion with God. Spend time in communion with God. On that, can you put that verse 5 back up there, please? I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. He was spending time in communion with God. He was taking time for prayer and meditation, and God spoke to him. And the same is true for you and me. If we had put ourselves in a position to hear God's voice and receive the direction, we would hear it. But we must commit to time of prayer, meditation, in the presence of the Lord. Secret number two is there in the second part of verse 5. Received a personal word from God. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. He saw the vision because he had been in prayer with the Father. Secret number three. Look for opportunities that are given by God. Verse 11, if you would, please, ma'am. After he saw this vision, and matter of fact, this happened three times. Came down, came up, went down, came up, went down. Three times. And then, verse 11, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. Some folks call that coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe it's an ordained opportunity presented by God Himself. Right then and there. So look for opportunities. The fourth secret is listen to the voice of God. Right there in verse 12, the next verse, please. The Spirit told me. How did the Spirit tell him? Well, only because he was listening, right? To have no hesitation about going with them. The Spirit told me, he knew that the Spirit was saying, go with these guys. Remember the part I said, don't call something unclean that I've made clean? These were not Jews that came and asking for Peter's help. These were Gentiles. Jews consider Gentiles unclean. Okay? So it was in direct correlation to the vision that God had just given him. It's like, oh, hello. It's an aha moment for Peter. Oh, I better not say no to this because God just spoke to me on the same type of issue. I better go. Okay, but there's something more important that he does here. He enlists advice from men and women of God. Right there in the second part of that verse, it says, these six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He didn't go alone. He took some brothers with him. He took godly people with him on that trip. There's a little proverb, 15 and 22, it says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So don't be afraid to seek advice from godly men and women. The last, number six secret, consider the testimony of the Word of God. And if you'll put up verse 16, I believe this may be the last one. I'm going to read 15 real quick. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as it had on us in the beginning. Verse 16, then I remembered what the Lord had said. You've heard me say before that people spend a lot of time asking God to speak to them. Spend a lot of time asking God to speak to them. Lord, speak to me. Give me a word. Tell me what I should do. Give me a word. And I think God is going, why do you want a new word when you haven't even seen what I've already said? I've already said a whole lot. There's a lot of stuff in here. A lot of words from the Lord. And he says, you haven't even read those yet. Why are you looking for a new word? Why are you looking for a fresh word? If you'll read what's already there, you'll probably find the answer to the questions you have. And if you read all that and don't, then come to me and I'll give you specifically what you're asking for. He's a good God. God's word never contradicts God's will never contradicts God's word. If you feel something, I think I told the story the other night about, you know, there was some, I was listening to the radio. I have these, I have XM satellite radio, and I listen to 131 almost all the time. And there was a guy on there who was calling, I think it was like the Family Life or something, and he said, yeah, I, Chuck or whoever he was talking to, I have a, the Lord told me that I need to leave my wife. And he had a girlfriend over here. And he felt the Lord telling him to do that. And Chuck just said, look, I can tell you one thing for sure. That is not the voice of God. Because God's will never contradicts God's word. And God's word's pretty clear on what men ought to do for their wives. Okay? It never contradicts God's word. As a matter of fact, God's word always clarifies God's will. The last and final thing that I'm going to bring to you is this. And this may be the most important thing. When God speaks, that is the encounter. That is the experience with God. Moses, he would have been foolish to say, wow, this has been a great experience after seeing all this bush and all that stuff. And man, I hope it leads to an encounter with God. That was an encounter with God. Moses knew it. It changed his life. When you hear God speak, that is your encounter. You may not know all that he has in mind. Remember, he only lets the light shine so far. You may not know everything he has, like hows and the winds and all that kind of stuff. But and we may need to wait for a little while and continue to pray and discern and ask God to reveal to us, and he will in his time. But the fact that we have had an initial word from God is the encounter with God. You may be having an encounter with God right now. You may be having an encounter with God saying, you know, that part he said about the light and the darkness and your heart not being right, that's you, brother. That's you, sister. That's you, little one. That's you, old one. How do you respond to that? How do you respond? You may be having that encounter right now. You may be having an encounter right now where you're sitting there going, there's a voice, and there's something that I can sense something, but I don't understand exactly what it is. That may be indicating that God is calling you unto salvation so that you can enter into that relationship and become familiar with that voice. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? The way God speaks is essentially the same, although how he speaks is different. How he speaks is unique to you and to me. Hebrews tells us that the Bible, in the Bible, that God has spoken by his Son. And in John, it tells us that he still speaks by his Son, who indwells in us by his Spirit. Today, God speaks by his Spirit through his word, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church, brothers and sisters in Christ. But the way God speaks is still the same. He has a personal word for each of us. And when God speaks, we can know that it's God speaking, and we can know what he is saying. And when God speaks, that is the encounter with God. The Holy Spirit gives clear directives today. God is personal. He wants to be intimately involved in your life. He'll give you clear guidance for living. Now you may say, well, that's not been my experience. It's not been my experience with God, and I would say that you need to base your understanding of God on the Scripture, not on your experience. Okay? Your experience, the Bible tells us, you know, that the heart is wicked, and it tells us all kinds of stuff. You can't even rely on your emotions. So if you feel something, check it out. God's not going to send you a feeling that contradicts his word. I'm going to close with this statement written by a theologian. His name is Richard Foster. And he said, I determined to learn to pray so that my experience conformed to the words of Christ rather than to make his words conform to my experience. God speaks today. He speaks to you. He speaks to me. The only question is, are we hearing it? Are we listening? Do we want to hear it? Do we recognize it when we do hear it? And then when we hear it, what do we do about it? That's the big question. That is the experience with God. It doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. It could just be how He wants you to live in your household, how He wants you to treat the ones that are closest around you. It may be bigger things. It may be some of you may end up on a mission trip or mission field somewhere. I don't know. But let me tell you something. Whatever it is that God has for you, it's better than anything else you could ever come up with on your own. I can tell you that from personal experience. You'll never regret following God's will. Never. That's not my promise to you. That's God's promise to you. It's God's will that all should be saved. He made the preparations and provisions for that. He said, trust in my Son, Jesus Christ. All who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. That's it. That's it. And friend, let me just close by this. If you've been walking ahead of the light or off to the side of the light, get back in the light so you can see where you're going. God is lighting the path for you. Get back in the light. And as you reach the end, the light will keep showing you the next few steps. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. It may require some changes. It may modify your lifestyle or whatever, but you will never regret following Christ. He doesn't regret coming for you. What say you now to Him? Father in heaven, thank you for this study. Thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for each one gathered here. Father, I believe it's no accident that any of us are here this morning to hear this word. Lord, I pray that as you have spoken to me and I've done my best to relay it to the people, Father, I pray that where I have messed it up, you have fixed it between my mouth and their ears, Father, because I don't want them to hear any story of Michael Nix. I want them to hear you. I want to hear them to hear your voice speaking to them, calling them, urging them, empowering them, enabling them, inspiring them. Father, I just pray that as you have spoken, you would find us faithful to respond. And not in just word and alone. I love the song that we sang a while ago. May my life outweigh my song. May my deeds outrun my words. Let us not just give you lip service, but let us truly give you our lives. For you surely gave your life for us. Lord, we thank you for that opportunity. Father, thank you that you speak to us today. And I pray, Father, that as the day and the weeks go on, Father, that these people, and myself included, are able to hear you better and more familiar each and every day because we spent time with you. We spent time in your word. We spent time listening for your voice. And that as you speak to us, Father, we would recognize that that is the encounter. Now let's go do something with that encounter. That's my prayer for your people in Jesus' name.